Among the various skilled trades and professions, a man unusually adept at his work is designated by that particular skill. For instance, a doctor's doctor or an actor's actor. We're very proud to be able to bring you this week a gentleman who is loved and respected not only by the fans of the country, but who in the profession of acting is known as an actor's actor. He needs no introduction because every appearance has accented the fact that he is one of the great actors of this generation. And here he is for a brief hello before we present our show, our star, Mr. Thomas Mitchell.
Thank you very much, Les. You're very kind.
Thomas, I was very interested in your comments on the art of being an actor, and I'd like to pass them along to our audience at the conclusion of the program.
Of course. I'll be glad to stay after the curtain, Les.
All right, then, we have a date. Mr. Thomas Mitchell will return for a few moments after the play, and I think you'll be interested in what he has to say, particularly those youngsters who have an eye on a career in acting. Now, curtain going up. Places, everyone. Curtain. The curtain is up, and here's the play.
Pour you some tea, Dudley.
Oh, no, no, please don't, Linda. Instead of filling me up on tea and cookies, tell me why you wanted to see me. I'm your lawyer, you know. You don't have to be hesitant with me. What's troubling you?
Oh, everything, Dudley. I don't know. It's just everything. The children, running the house, shopping.
Here, let's take one thing at a time. What's wrong with the children? Are they sick?
No, but they're just hard to manage. Little Susan is all right, but Richard. Well, you should have seen him the way he arrived home this afternoon. No tie on, his suit torn. He'd been fighting with a boy in the next block.
Well, that's not so terrible, a growing boy, you know. How'd he make out?
Oh, please, Dudley, be serious with me. I don't know what to do. Richard's 12 and growing fast, and Susan's 10. When John was alive, I wasn't so conscious of the children. Oh, be serious, please. I'm asking your help. What am I to do?
All right. I'll give you my honest advice. You won't like it, and you probably won't follow it. Linda, have you ever thought of marrying again?
Dudley, with John buried only yesterday, what would he think, even suggesting the idea?
2 years is not yesterday, Linda. And if I knew John Warren as well as I think I do, he'd be giving you the same advice. Now, I haven't said anything before because I knew you were still cherishing his memory. His things as he left them, his pipe on the mantel. But the time has come when you have to look at the future. Not the past.
But marriage. Dudley, tell me, are most men like John, or was he different? More understanding and tender than other men.
Linda, I'm only your lawyer. Now, John was the right man for you at the time, but he's left your life. He's been gone for 2 years. You're a different person now, even though you have been fighting off reality for these 2 years. You're alone with two growing children to bring up. You have to start from where you are now. And, of course, well, a marriage would be new and a different experience.
But supposing I did want to marry again, who'd want to marry a widow with two children? I'm not young. And
you look as though you were still in your early 30s. And you're attractive, beautiful.
You're not just...
Oh, no, no, I'm not just being kind.
And you really think some handsome, charming man might want to marry me?
Yes, I most emphatically do.
But who?
Well, lots of men. There must be lots of men who would want to marry
you. Oh, but, Dudley, I can't just marry anybody.
No, you most certainly can't. The man who gets you has to be somebody.
And I don't know a soul who isn't already married or too old or too young or too something. I do respect your advice, and I might even consider it. But you'll have to help me. How am I to find the right man?
Hello, Chester.
Hello, Chris. Say, is that Captain Storm out there?
That's none other.
Looks as though he had something on his mind.
He has.
What?
I don't know. But the club's going to need new carpet if he doesn't stop pacing the deck.
Well, we've got to do something. Look at him out there. Storm was never a deck pacer. Huh. When he had a tough decision to make, he'd just go to his bunk, light that stinking old pipe of his, and put out a smoke screen that you'd need an axe to cut your way through.
Yes, I know. But he hasn't had that pipe out once.
Well, we can't just sit here. He's floundering. And as his two oldest friends, we've got to get him back on the course. Come on, I'm going out.
No, no, wait. He's coming in.
Ahoy, Captain Storm. Come on over. Here's Commander Chris Jones.
Hello, Toby.
Hello. Oh, hello, Chester. Where have you two been? Seems you're never around when I need you.
Captain, I have been here for the last 3 days watching you cut a path through that carpet.
Huh?
What's the matter?
You look as if you've been fighting the devil for a week, and he won.
Come here. I don't want anybody else to hear this. What I'm going to tell you two is highly confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Sealed orders.
Well, of course, Captain.
Well, surely you don't think.
Well, then, here it is. I'm going to get married.
Huh? Good grief. Great snakes and little serpents.
I thought it would surprise you a little.
Who are you going to marry?
I don't know yet.
What?
Here's the situation in a nutshell. I'm retired. I have nothing to do. I have a better than a fair income and no one to leave my property to. And I'm tired of looking across the breakfast table every morning and seeing nothing but the back of a chair. I want to talk to someone, listen to someone. The only sound I hear at breakfast now is my teeth grinding on the burnt toast.
Well, it's a settled fact you want to marry. Now, whom do you want to marry?
That's the question. We've got to draw up our plans, then seek out and destroy the enemy. I mean, seek out the woman and marry her.
Say, I've got an idea. The captain should marry a widow.
Why a widow?
Well, he's never been married. He wouldn't know how to act. One of the parties should have been married before us, or so there'll be an experienced pilot aboard to steer the craft away from the shoals and rocks that lurk in the sea of matrimony.
Excellent planning, Commander Jones. I agree with you.
The second decision has been made. The captain will marry a widow.
Well, now, wait a minute. There's a hitch here. If it's going to be a widow, she might have some children. How do you feel about children, Captain Storm?
Two would be just about right. I'd sit at the north, due south would be my wife. 90 degrees east would be a youngster, a boy, about 12 years old, and 270 degrees, perhaps a little girl, maybe a few years younger. Then, in any direction I looked, I'd see my family.
All neat and shipshape. You can become a husband and father all at once.
Then it's settled. A widow with two children, a boy and a girl. Now we know our objective.
Look, Captain, you've got to stop halting women on the street and asking them if they're widows. We'll all be thrown in the brig or put under observation.
Blast it all. A man ought to be able to look at a woman and find out if she's a widow. Look, look, look. Hmm? There goes one. All decked out in black. Maybe she's mourning her husband.
No, Captain, that doesn't mean a thing. Black's very fashionable this year. I read that in the newspaper. Now, wait, I have an idea. Why don't we advertise?
Splendid.
In the public press? Never. This is a private affair between me and my future wife.
All right. But that gives me an idea. I know how we can find some widows. Lots and lots of them.
How's that?
Well, we'll get the newspapers and read the obituaries. Why, there might even be some pictures of widows.
Uh-huh.
Husbands die every day. We'll pick out a likely prospect, wait a decent interval, and then...
Just how long an interval?
Oh, 3 or 4 weeks. Give her time to forget.
No, that's too soon.
That's too long. I'm not getting any younger.
Chris, how long do you think it takes to forget?
Oh, about 2 years or so. I remember once I had a ship. She was the trimmest, fastest ever built. And she was rammed by a freighter one night in the fog down in the Gulf of Lower California. Took me well over a year to get over the loss of that ship.
That's right, Chris. I know what it is to lose the first thing you really care about. No one. No ship. Is ever the same again. Well, let's peg the interval at 2 years. That gives us a starting point.
Sure, and then if we find that we need longer, we can just look at some older newspapers.
All right, fine. Now we're coming on the range. Let's see. A widow, about 40 years old, two children, boy and girl, and one whose husband passed on about 2 years ago.
Taxi!
Look at them. A whole page of widows, all arranged in alphabetical order. Mr. Ainsworth is survived by his wife and 6 children.
I'll try another. That's too many children.
Oh, here, Chester. You start at the top and make a list, and I'll do the same working up from the bottom. Then we'll start calling them.
Hello? Is this Dunwitty, 7492?
Yes.
Mrs. Odell?
Well, Well, yes and no.
But, madam, I don't understand.
I was Mrs. O'Dell until this morning, but now I'm Mrs. George T. Harvey. Who's speaking, please?
Oh, just an old friend of Mr. O'Dell's. Please accept my congratulations. We're too late. She was married this morning.
Well, you see, they do marry again.
Cross her off the list and try the next one.
Yes, thank you kindly. I'll keep you in mind.
Well?
Cross her off. The FBI filled her husband full of holes when he tried to shoot it out with him.
Thank you very much.
Boy, she'd marry anyone, sight unseen.
Well, man, there's only one left.
Here, you landlubbers, I'll take a hand.
Hello?
Mrs. Warren?
Yes, this is Mrs. Warren.
This is Captain Tobias W. Storm, United States Navy, retired.
Yes, Captain Storm.
Well, Mrs. Warren, may I have the pleasure and the honor of calling on you tomorrow afternoon?
Why, I don't know what to say. I'm sure we don't know each other, do we? Oh, you mean on official business.
Not exactly, Mrs. Warren. You might say it's of a very personal and highly confidential nature.
But how could we conduct any personal business when we don't even know each other?
Madam, I'm flying the distress signal. I need help. You're the last one on the list. I mean, I need someone to advise me.
But why call on me? How did you ever come to call this number?
I'll give a full explanation when I see you tomorrow.
Oh, but I can't see you tomorrow.
I'll be there promptly at 1500. That's 3 o'clock.
Why, Captain Storm, this is preposterous. I won't. I can't.
Until tomorrow, then. Goodbye, Mrs. Warren.
Minute, Captain Storm had an attack of stage fright, couldn't come out, so he sent me instead to act as liaison officer.
I see. What's Captain Storm really like?
As a captain, brave, cool, resourceful. As a man, stubborn, proud, unpredictable.
Well, isn't it odd that after all these years he wants to marry? It's not just, well...
Just a passing fancy? Not if you knew Captain Storm. It took him 3 whole days to make up his mind.
Oh?
Oh, he'll get married, all right. Nothing will stop him. Just let him down easy like Mrs. Warren when he asks you to marry.
Oh, of course. But do you think it's wise for him to marry?
Well, I thought he was crazy when he first told me, but...
But what, Commander?
I've changed my mind.
Oh? Well, that's interesting and sudden, isn't it?
No, Mrs. Warren. When I first saw you... I realized that I had been crazy all these years, and that Captain Storm is a very wise man.
Why, Commander Jones.
What the devil's keeping Chris? It's almost 2400 and he's not here. I'd better telephone.
Now, remember, Captain, it was you who sent Chris out after you got weak in the knees. Haven't you any confidence in him?
Certainly. Didn't I always pick him for a difficult assignment?
Yes, and for some of those assignments, I sometimes wondered why you did send him.
Because I knew that no matter what happened, Chris Jones would always look after his own skin. I knew that if anybody came back alive from a dangerous mission, it would be Chris.
Well, then why worry?
Well, this mission isn't dangerous, but I'm just thinking that Chris still has that habit of looking out for himself.
Oh, here he is.
Where have you been and what have you been doing? It didn't take you all this time just to run out and have a look at her.
Oh, but she's easy to look at, Captain.
Fine. Well, I'm relieved to hear it.
And the children?
They take after the mother.
Uh-huh.
I saw them at dinner. I told them you wanted to. Then she stowed them away for the night.
Did you sign her out? How does she feel about marrying?
Yes, let's have a full report on her, Chris.
Gentlemen, she's as trim as a racing yacht. Uh-huh. She's about so high, tawny hair, just the color of tassels on Iowa corn. Yeah. And her eyes are blue. They're bright, like jewels held in place by crow's feet. And they show when she smiles. She smiles often. And puts you right on the edge of your chair.
Good Godfrey, listen to the man.
I can't believe it. Chris, what happened? What did she do to you?
I don't know, but I feel 10 years younger.
Commander Jones, I'll have you court-martialed for this.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, Chester. What's burning?
Ah, is that smoke rising out of that chair what I think it is, or is the stuffing on fire?
That's Captain Storm's pipe.
Uh-oh. Something's going to happen. I wonder what.
Well, he's probably trying to make up his mind whether to challenge you to a duel or have you ousted from the club.
Pretty mad?
Hardly spoke to me. Oh, stand by. Here he comes.
Morning, Chester.
Morning, Benedict Arnold.
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning. Sleep well, sir?
No.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope it wasn't that.
Not at all, not at all. I'm glad you found the widow so agreeable that you couldn't resist stabbing your old friend in the back. There's nothing I relish more than competition. Besides, I now feel it's my duty to rescue the widow from the designs of a scoundrel like you. You've taught me something.
I taught you something,
Captain? Yes, yes. If you want a mission really carried out, do it yourself. Now, if you two will excuse me, I am on my way to call on Mrs. Warren.
Ah, that's what I call coffee. Do you always make it like that?
Well, not so strong, Captain Storm. But I knew you'd like it that way.
You made it special for me, huh? How very thoughtful and considerate.
Oh, not at all. It was ordinary courtesy.
You would have done the same for Commander Jones?
Well, of course, if I thought he preferred it strong.
Well, it's an unusual woman who knows how to make good coffee.
Oh? Are you speaking from experience,
Captain? No. Oh, blast it all, Mrs. Warren. Every time I try to lead up to something, you snarl up the rigging and I have to shorten the sail.
I'm sorry, Captain. Just what were you leading up to? Then you didn't really like my coffee?
No, isn't it just like a woman to jump to a conclusion like that?
Well, you say you were leading up to something. And now you say that was just a stepping stone to something else. What?
Marriage.
Oh, Captain. You speak of women being illogical.
Mrs. Warren, I want this to happen every morning.
But any good cook could...
There's more. I want you to be across the table every morning.
Well, my goodness. Of all the proposals I've ever heard...
Just how many have you heard, Mrs. Warren?
Well, I've heard just lots. No, Captain, you're not the kind of a man that people fib to. Just one other proposal.
Your husband's?
Yes.
Not like mine, no doubt.
No, Captain, it was not like yours.
Well, 30 years ago, mine would have been different. About the time the apple blossoms were carpeting the ground in the Shenandoah Valley, I'd have taken you for a drive. There's a country lane, 6 miles out of Winchester, and I would have hired a team of sorrel horses, combed and curried until their hides were smooth as satin. A little breeze has come up, and the blossoms are falling like flakes of white and pink snow. I'd be noticing all these little things, even if I was trying to form words of love beautiful and new and so different that you wouldn't be able to say anything but yes. Then...
Yes, Captain Storm?
I'd slow down the horses. Commander was the name of one, Admiral the other. We named them according to age and seniority. Yeah, they know what to do. I could just wrap the reins around the whip and let them walk. That's strange. Strange how all the little details will come back again after 30 years.
What was her name, Captain?
Her name, too, is Linda.
And you proposed?
I was coming to that. The sorrels were walking along, their hoofs thumping against the soft ground. Linda and I had been silent a long time. I with my arm around her shoulder and she with her head resting on mine. And the words which I was praying would make me the happiest man in the world were boiling up inside of me. Somehow I couldn't get them out. As I look back now, Linda was scarcely breathing for fear any little sound would get me off my course. She was helping with her silence. Even the horses were helping. They never looked round once.
Oh, perfectly charming.
Finally, I knew I had to say something, for my chest was about to explode. I turned and said, "Linda." And she dug her head out of my shoulder and looked up at me. Her bonnet had fallen off and the ribbons were holding it. The ribbons were blue. "Yes, my darling," she says. And there I was. Both the horses had stopped. I guess I told you.
Yes, you did. They were used to this.
Seemed to know, too, just how long it took. They both turned, and they were looking back at us.
And poor Linda, anxious and waiting. What did you say?
I bellowed out in a voice that jolted the buggy 2 inches off the ground. "Linda, you make the best cup of coffee I ever tasted. Will you marry me?"
And what did she say?
Nothing.
Not a word?
No, she couldn't. I was kissing her.
Oh, yes, of course.
On the way back, she said I didn't have to apologize for my proposal because she knew it summed up all the beautiful things I wanted to say.
And when were you married?
The apples had turned a deep red in the valley when Linda and I drove down that lane again. It was our last. 2 weeks later, I stood at a grave and saw her lowered into the earth.
I am sorry, Captain.
Well, now I'll be going, Mrs. Warren. It's been a deep pleasure to call, and I thank you. I deem it a great honor if you'd permit me to call again someday.
And of course you may, Captain Stone.
Thanks, and goodbye.
Goodbye. And do come again. Captain? Oh, Captain Storm.
Did I hear you call?
Yes, I did. Here, you forgot your pipe.
Oh, so I did. Thank you kindly.
Yes, I noticed it right after you left, there on the mantelpiece. I know how attached men are to their favorite pipes.
Yes, they are. Well, thank you again.
Thank you. Captain, I really enjoyed having you for breakfast this morning. And I was just wondering, since you like my coffee better than that served at your club, why don't you come out tomorrow for breakfast? My 2 children will be back. They're visiting their aunt today. And I know they'd love to see a real sea captain.
Well, nothing will please me more. Thank you. And Mrs. Warren, if you'll just say the word, your children can look at a real live sea captain every morning.
Oh, well, I don't know what to say now. Anyhow, come tomorrow. And if the children like you as much as I do...
I'll be here promptly. By the way, Linda, this must be your husband's pipe. I've got mine in my coat pocket.
Now, here is our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Mr. Thomas Mitchell. Thomas, superlatives are unnecessary after listening to such a fine portrayal as you've just given. Thank you very much.
That was a lot of fun, an interesting story and character. You know, I enjoyed every minute of it.
As I said at the beginning of the program, I'm most interested in your comments on the business of becoming and being an actor.
Well, all I can say to any actor, young or old, is that he should avoid losing his personality. That's his main asset. He shouldn't allow himself to be forced into doing things that he doesn't understand. He shouldn't allow people to squeeze him into a mold which isn't himself.
In other words, the true actor is a person who brings sincerity and knowledge to the part rather than one who is content to use tricks.
Well, let me say it this way. An actor shouldn't be self-conscious. He should want to free himself from any restraint. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, indeed. And coming from one who has so capably demonstrated his acting ability, I must say that's good advice.
Thanks. Say, before I leave, I'd like to thank Lorene Tuttle and the rest of the cast for their splendid work. And thank you again, Les.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Thomas Mitchell.
Mr. Thomas Mitchell was supported by an all-star cast. Lorene Tuttle as Linda, Ted Von Els as Chester, Hugh Studebaker as Christopher, O.J. Newworth as Dudley. There's Nothing Like a Good Cup of Coffee was written by Joseph Cochran, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
Thank you for being our guest, and we hope you'll be with us next week.
Musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Be sure to listen each week and hear such stars as Marjorie Reynolds, Peggy Ann Garner, and many other great actors and great stories selected especially for them. Dan Desitel speaking.